good, Cindy. Amen. Amen, amen. All right. Do you have the Word of God? God wrote that book. If you'll turn the book of Philippians with me this morning, John with me this morning, chapter 5, if you'd like to stand. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you give me unction to preach what you've laid on my heart this morning. In thy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. A very beneficial study in the Word of God would be the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked of individuals while he was here. He asked questions that demanded an answer, but he knew the answer before they ever gave it. But when he asks a question, sometimes it's a very loaded question. In plain words, the question may have an immediate answer to it, but may have a far deeper answer to it. In plain words, when he asks the question of an individual, he's really testing that individual and searching his soul. For he said to this man at the pool of Bethesda, Wilt thou be made whole? Now, what man in his right mind in a position like this for 38 years would not want to be made whole? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ said to this man, Wilt thou be made whole? The definition of whole coming forth from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ may carry with it far more than this man ever considered what whole would be. So therefore, when he asks the question of an individual, he is searching the soul of that individual and bringing forth a response from them which may be far greater than they had ever thought in their life. I don't know if you've ever been brought to circumstance in your life and when you reacted to what happened to you or around you, that it wasn't anything like you thought would happen. But it brought forth something from deep down inside you that really amazed you at what was living within your heart. And it is a time like that when you come face to face with who you really are. That's when something can be done to help you. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Wilt thou be made whole? Now, when he said that to a man, you'd think the answer would be very simple. Of course I want to be made whole. Why would you ask me that? I mean, here I am. Look at me. Look what kind of shape I'm in. I certainly would love to be made whole. But the Lord Jesus Christ had far more intention in what he said than simply saying, Do you want me to make you well? Do you want to be able to walk? Would you like to get up and walk away from here? Is that all you need? Is all you need the ability to get up and walk away from this place? Or could it be that you need a whole lot more than simply to be healed from the physical affliction that's afflicting your body? Some of you in this house today, probably because you're hurt. And the only reason you're here is because you're hurt. And if you'd never been hurting, you probably would never have turned toward God. Could be that some of you were locked up in a jail, and because the doors were shut, and you couldn't get out and couldn't go anywhere, God had your ear and He could talk to you. could be that your life has come apart and you no longer have anything like you used to, and everything now is in a shambles around you, and now for the first time in your life you're beginning to look around and wonder what life really is all about. Well, let me tell you something. If you want to know what life is about, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one to tell you. If you want to know what this world's about, He has the answer. If you want to understand things that are far beyond the human mind, He is the one to come to. The Lord Jesus Christ amazes me at how He seeks out those who are in need. I marvel at how they come to Him because they hear He can feed people. And my friend, He can perform miracles and He can draw a great crowd. But if you look at that New Testament carefully, you'll find here and there men and women seeking Him out. They look for Him. They hunt Him. They want to find this man. When Nicodemus came to Him at night, it was because he knew this man had work. Words he'd never heard before. My friend, when this woman that came to Him and washed His feet with the tears that fell from her eyes, it's because she needed something deep, deep down inside her soul. And here was a man that was able to give her what she needed. Amen. Wilt thou be made whole? A question posed to you this morning. Let me ask you the question as He asked him. Would you really like to be made whole? Would you like things to change? Would you like something to happen to you that's never happened to you before? Do you really believe that there's somebody bigger and greater and beyond you that's able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think? My friend, there's a big difference between the worldly Jesus and the religious Jesus and the real Jesus. There's a vast difference between the Jesus you hear preached day and night on television, the one that you get from the organized religion, and the real Son of God. There's a vast difference between the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Christ of the Bible, and the one that you see in most people about you today who carry a Bible around and call themselves Christians. If the truth of the matter is, if you watch most people today that call themselves Christians, you're going to wind up depressed, backslidden, and cold on God. For most of all you're going to see is the Laodicean church. And the Bible says they're lukewarm and He's going to spew them out of His mouth. Wilt thou be made whole? Would you? Would you like to? Or would you just want to continue on in the mess you're in until it comes down to the end of the road and the last breath of your body leaves and you go off into a Christless hell without God and without Christ, lost throughout eternity? And then you wake up and then you say, "Oh Lord God, what have I done? What a mistake I've made." And I'll guarantee you, if you could pull back the door of hell right now and let the voices come up out of that pit, you'd hear them screaming, "What have I done? What 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 a fool I am." But it's too late when you die and leave this world without the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Kings, we read how in chapter number 3 and verse number 5, when Solomon at night, the Bible said, God appeared to him. And He said this to Solomon. He said, "What shall I do? And what shall I give unto thee?" Boy, it's almost like you've heard the old story about they got the bottle and they rub the bottle and the genie comes out of the bottle. And the genie says, "You can have 3 wishes, anything you want. You got 3 of them and then that's it, nothing more." And that, of course, my friend, is a play upon the truth. For the Almighty God is the only one who is able to do anything. He's the only one that can do anything today. And to Solomon He said, "Ask what you will." Boy, what a thing. "Ask of me," He said. "What do you want, Solomon?" And boy, did He ever bring His character out that day. Did He ever speak to the heart and soul of Solomon? Did He ever open him up? Oh yeah, what would you have asked for? If the Almighty came to you this morning and came down upon your soul and said to you, "Ask of me now, I'll give you anything you want." Boy, that would really show who you are, wouldn't it? Show what you're made out of. It'd show real fast what makes you tick. How many of you would be so selfish as to take from God what you could get and out the door you'd go and then you'd live on it the rest of your life? You'd be the most miserable creature walking on the face of this earth. Have you noticed that what Solomon asked for God, from God was not something he could put in his hands? Did you notice what Solomon asked from God was not something he could count with his hands? Did you notice that what Solomon asked of God was not something that he could set around where he could see it as he came and as he went? What he asked from God was something that you can't see. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. It's a thing that, my friend, you can't measure. You can't put it under a microscope. But he knew it was real. He said, I want wisdom. I'm going to lead these people by the millions. I want wisdom. I cannot stand before them night and day and make decisions that affect their lives. And some of the decisions that I make will affect whether they live or die. I want, would to God, that that crowd in the White House right now would get in a room somewhere and get on their face and pray the same prayer Solomon prayed and say, Lord God, it doesn't matter whether I'm a Democrat or Republican. I stand for this republic. Give me wisdom to lead these people. Amen. Instead of playing politics and playing for themselves, that they do something for the good of the nation. And so my friend Solomon said, give me wisdom. I want wisdom. He was a wise man in asking for wisdom. He realized that a wisdom was a treasure. He realized how wonderful it was to have wisdom. Not a head full of facts. Some of you have a head full of facts crammed in there through years of study, but you don't have enough wisdom to fill a spoon. Wisdom, my friend, goes beyond facts. It goes beyond understanding. It goes into that area that cannot be measured. Yet it controls every aspect of your life. Give me wisdom, Lord. I'll pray that prayer with Solomon any day of the week. Not a house full of money, not a wheelbarrow full of gold, but God, give me wisdom. If God said to you today, I'll give you whatever you ask for. Somebody said, well, preacher, just give me a happy marriage or a happy home. That's a good thing. Somebody said, well, preacher, just give me health and give me the ability to come and go, you know, and work and make a living. That's all good. That's fine. But don't you think there's something a little higher than that? Do you not realize that there's something greater than what can be said, what can be done, what can be felt? What can be about you? Do you realize this morning that the God that I serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is infinite wisdom? That from everlasting to everlasting, known unto God are all of his works. I just happened to pop up in 1946. It took me a long time to learn that the God that I serve is absolute wisdom. He came to the man at that place and said, what wilt thou that I should do for you? What would you have me do for you? Well, you say, preacher, the answer was obvious. Oh, was it really? Was it really that obvious? Oh, of course. Why, the main thing in the man's life was that he might be able to get up and walk. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If that had been the main course or the main reason, then why would Christ ask him that question? Could it be that there could have been more involved? Could it be that there could have been something greater going on here? We also read in the book of Luke, chapter number 18, verse 41, as he approached one town, the Bible says, in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 41, he stood there, there was a blind man. And he cried, verse 38, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. They didn't care if he was blind. It didn't matter to them if the man was suffering. He interrupted their religious processional. He got involved in the religion. Have you noticed how some people get so upset when you affect their religion? Have you noticed how their religion becomes the all-encompassing, all-important thing in their life? Everything just has to be done a certain way. I love to tear it all to pieces and completely change the whole stinking mess. It's not about where you sit, how you sit, what you do when you come. It's about the God we serve. And whatever we got to do to stir around and move around and change it so that that God that we serve, we get our mind on Him. When I do that in my own life, I have to get my mind on Him. Notice carefully what happens here. In verse number 39, they went before rebuked Him. He cried so much, the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I like that. Oh, how I like somebody that won't be shut up. How I like that soul that won't be denied. Like that importunate woman who came back to the judge and came back to the judge and came back to the judge and kept knocking on his door and knocking on his door and knocking on his door. The judge finally said, help this woman. Do something with her. She's going to worry me to death. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who told it. And I thought to myself, why, he's the judge. And he's saying that if you're a child of God, he can't turn a deaf ear to you. Amen. He's saying if you're born again, you have an access to the throne of God and nobody can shut you up. I love that. And he said, give her what she wants or I'll get no rest. And so my friend, the importunity, in plain words, the persistence of the woman gained her access to the Father. Now some of you start praying a little while and give up. You'll quit praying after a day or two. You don't see an immediate answer to your prayer and you're ready to throw your hands up and quit. I mean, your push button society, instant gratification happens right now. If it's not, it's not real. You're dead wrong. Have you ever prayed a solid week, every day of the week about a certain thing? Have you ever come before the Lord with a petition for a solid year? Have you ever prayed about anything for 5 long years? This man for 38 years sat by the pool and no answer came to his prayer. Don't you know he prayed? Don't you know he sought the face of God? Don't you know he cried out to the Lord? But for 38 years the heavens were brass. No answer. God was silent. And then Jesus came by. Joy cometh in the morning. Sorrow endureth through a night. But joy does come. There will be an answer. God will answer from heaven. God will open the portals of glory. God will come. Are you still praying? Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't take circumstances as an answer to God's prayer. Circumstances may not be the answer to God's prayer. Circumstances may simply be a stepping stone lifting you higher in your faith as you approach the Lord, as you see a better view of the light. It's higher that he lifts you where you smell the breath of heaven. It's greater and closer to him that you begin to understand what I'm talking about. All that God would show us today. Are you listening to me? It's not about us. It's about him. He said here in the book of Luke chapter number 18, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you mean, what should I do? Why, Lord, don't you know he's blind? Can't you see he's a blind man? Don't you understand that he's blind? What do you mean, what would you have me do? That would be like a man coming here, and he's a leprous from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He has open sores running with pus. And they bring him in a gurney. And they bring him down to the front, and I look at him and say, what would you like for me to do for you? You say, preacher, that's ludicrous. Why, of course he needs to be healed from his leprosy. Let me tell you something this morning. God Almighty doesn't whitewash sepulchers. He's not in the tomb cleansing business. He doesn't run funeral homes. No disrespect for the funeral homes. But God's not in burying the dead. That's not what he does. What does he do, preacher? He goes to the root, to the heart, to the soul of the issue. I've been preaching a long time. I've been pastoring the church a long time. There are things that I believe, and I believe them deeply. As a matter of fact, the longer I live, the deeper they're seated in my soul. There are things about God that I know that I've learned, not only on this word, but on my face. There are things about the God that I preached to this morning. I didn't get it from a book. I didn't get it from a preacher. I didn't get it from man. I got it from him. And it inspires me. It fills my soul. It moves me in the night. It lifts me up above human thinking and does something to make me who I am. I love the God that I preach. I know the one that I'm talking about this morning. There are things about him that I know, that I know, that I know. And the only way I could have gotten them is directly from the Almighty. He would come to me and say, what would you have me do? If he said that to me right now, I'd say, Lord, give me just a little bit of time. I gotta have some time. There's an awful lot of things I'd like to have done, But there's some things that are higher than my mind can grasp. There's something about God that's deeper than my soul can understand. There's something about His essence, His person, who He is, that reaches way, way, way above us. Oh, that you get a hold of what I'm saying. That you get a hold of it today. If you just get a hold of the fact that to get a hold of God is to raise you up. He'll lift you up. He'll raise you up. He'll raise your soul. Over here, this one, he said, what would you have me do? And he said, they rebuked him. Verse 41, he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Thy faith has saved thee. So he was healed. So he got his sight. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But what I'm going to read to you is one of the most, it's one of the deepest in all the Bible of the miracles he ever performed. It's so deep that I hardly really get a hold of what's going on here. But it speaks to my soul. You're familiar with it. You've heard it time and again. But this time, read it with your heart and steady your head. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to overcome the circumstances about you and have something inside you that literally just leaps out and overcomes anything about you? That's your heart doing it, not your mind. Your mind reacts, the heart acts. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. My heart says, I know I'm not worthy, but God loves me. And my heart cries out for heaven. My heart cries out for God. My mind says, well, now there's righteousness and there's justification. There's redemption. There's holiness. And yeah, but my heart says, Jesus loves me. My heart cries out to Him in such a way that His heart connects with my heart. And my heart hears His heart. You ever heard the heart of God? You ever have? Listen to this. Luke 17, if there ever was a test in the Bible, you're reading, what did I say, 19. Let me get my glasses. 17. Lord, that I might receive my sight. If there ever was a test in the Bible, it's this one. Can't you see it? Chapter 17, verse 11. Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. How many say that's a good thing? That's a good thing. I don't take any pleasure in folks suffering. As you get older, you won't add any more, my friend, than as you get a little time in your life, as you live a few days on this earth, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to run from trouble. You're not going to hunt it. There's enough of that around. You'll stay as far from trouble as you can. There's plenty to go around. But notice what he said. It came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, one out of 10, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Oh boy, what was going through his mind? And of course we know who he was, the Samaritan. But I want you to see this. Now watch this. When he saw he was healed, he turned back. Well, he said, go yourselves, show yourselves the priest. Yeah, but he was a Samaritan. He couldn't go to the temple. They weren't there for him. Why, a Samaritan wasn't even allowed in the court of the temple. Why, they'd have stoned him to death. Why, if that Samaritan had gone down to Jerusalem and said, look at me. I was as leprous as all the rest of them, and now I'm clean from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. You know what religion has said to him? Or that religious crowd in Jerusalem would have said to him, you don't have any place here. You're a Samaritan. You don't belong here. Get out of here. They wouldn't have cared one whit that he had just been healed. Religion has no place for mercy. It has no place for grace. It has no place for long suffering. It has no place for the mind of God. But I want you to see something. The Bible says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, and that's another message I love, those that you find at the feet of Jesus. Oh boy, those you find at the feet of Jesus. You ever been there? The only way you can get to the feet of Jesus is to humble yourself. You got to take off all your pins, all your robes, all the big talk about you and how your great reputation, how beautiful you are, how pretty you can sing, how great you are, and all your accomplishments, and what a wonderful person you are. You've got to pull all that off and just crawl up to his feet. Just with the rest of the old dogs. There's plenty of dogs around there. Oh, that's a dog house if you ever saw one. Just take it all off and just crawl up to the feet of Jesus, where everybody's the same. And boy, at the feet of Jesus, look what he got. Look what he got. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They're not found that returned to give glory to God. In other words, where are all these Jews? Where are the Jews? Where are the Jews? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. Now watch this. I love this. He said unto them, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. In other words, we have 9 lepers down there in Jerusalem telling people how God had healed them, showed themselves to the priest. Hallelujah, glory to God, praise God, amen. That's a good thing, but not a one of them were whole. They'd been healed, but they weren't whole. They'd received the hand of God. They'd been touched, but they weren't whole. They came in contact with the Savior, but they weren't whole. They obeyed the voice of the Lord, but they were not whole. Not a one of them, but a Samaritan who came back. Like the Samaritan woman at the well. Like the good Samaritan on the road to Jericho. Like the Samaritan that he uses over and over again in the New Testament to teach what faith is all about. He doesn't get it from his children. He gets it from the stranger. From the outcast. From the goyim. From the dogs. To whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. He said to his children, during the days of Elijah, was not the whole land starving? Was there not sickness from one end to the other? But God only healed, only fed, only took care of one. And that was a widow of Zarephath. Now, my friend, you look that up in the Bible. Look up the geography of Zarephath. You'll find out there are a bunch of Gentiles. Here this prophet goes to a Gentile. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this today? Let me tell you something. It's not about, my friend, it's not at all about what appears to be so great. The show that's put on. I mean, he may have healed you. Has God healed you? He's healed me. I mean, this house, this one, raise your hand. You know God has healed you. I know he healed that brother of cancer right over there. I know he did. And he healed your mother. I know God heals. I know he heals. And I say probably, how many to raise their hand again? Look about you, folks. That's at least 80%. 90% of the people in this congregation say God has healed them. But let me ask you a question. Was that enough? Was that enough? Was that enough? There's more to it than that. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And this is what I want to say to you today. I want to say to you, there's a whole lot more to God than what he can do for you. There's a whole lot more than what, friend, was ever done to you. There's a whole lot more than what he'll ever do the rest of your life. So what do you mean, preacher? What are you trying to say to me? I'm trying to say to you today that I say what the Apostle Paul said, that I might know him. I want to know him. He'd been caught up to the third heaven. He saw glory. He saw heaven. He saw the saints of God in heaven. He saw it with his own eyes. He said, I saw things unspeakable. Came back down, said, it's unlawful for me to tell you. And God said, I know it is, Paul. You can't handle it. I've got to give you a thorn in the flesh. I've got to make you earthbound again. I have to make you feel a little pain. pain. You got to feel a little sorrow because you could be exalted above measure. And the apostle in the end of his days, as he came down to the last breath of his life, he said, I want to know him. I want to know him, he said. What do you mean by that, preacher? He meant, I want to know his mind. I want to know that mind that is from everlasting, that has thought out the plan of salvation for mankind and how God's going to deal with him in the future. I want to know his heart. I want to know what it beats. I want to know his heart, Paul said. I want to know what's in that heart. I want to get close enough to him when I stand before him to feel the very heartbeat of God. Oh, friend, have you ever felt that? Are you listening to me this morning? I know you felt yours, and I know you felt man's, but have you ever felt the heartbeat of God? Have you ever felt him touch you when you know you didn't deserve to be touched? Have you ever felt him cleanse you when you know you didn't even deserve to be cleansed? Have you ever felt him draw you nigh and feel his big arms around you, pulling you in when you knew you didn't deserve to have that either? Then, my friend, you felt his mercy and his long suffering. Have you ever felt salvation? Do you know what it is to have that burden lifted off of your soul? Do you know what it is that one moment you're a child of hell and the next moment you're a child of God and spiritual things open up to you? You're not running wild like you were before. You've settled down. All of a sudden, you're a new creature in Christ. You felt his spirit. You felt his Holy Spirit. But one day, you're going to be brought before him, and you're going to see his mind, and you're going to see his heart in a way you never have before. And Paul knew it. Paul knew it when he wrote that. He said, I don't care how long you live in this world. If you live 1,000 lifetimes, experience everything a human can experience and the grace of God in it, there are things that you're never going to know till you see him and that you believe and that you trust. But you know something? There's something in me here tonight, this morning. There's something in me that literally rebels and rejects certain things people say to me. It just rejects it. You just as well turn me off because I don't believe it. I don't accept it. And I reject it outright. But there are things about God that I see nobody has a hunger for. Nobody wants. Nobody cares about. Just a few. There's just a few who really want him. Him. Not what he can do for you, but who he is. When that leper came back, he'd already received from him. He wasn't coming back to receive anything from him. He was coming back to thank him. He was coming back to give back. He was coming back to respond. He wasn't expecting a thing. But when he came back, and his motive was pure, and it was as pure as it gets. And his motive was pure. All he wanted to do was to come back and make sure that the one that had just healed him knew he was thankful. That opened up another world. That's my message. If you get it all condensed in one phrase, it's that one. You come to him this morning not asking for a thing, but coming to him. You can call it thankfulness, or you can call it hunger. You can call it whatever you want. You want God. He'll open up another world for you. He'll open up a world you don't even know exists. He'll take you as far as you want to go with him. You'll know as much of him as you want to know. You'll have as much of him as you want to have. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more of him you have, the more of him you know, the more life you're going to have. And the more your life's going to have meaning. Not what he can do for you, who he is to you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I've delivered my soul. Heavenly Father, some folks in here this morning, I honestly believe they understand what I said. They know, Lord, it's not about coming and even asking for forgiveness. They've already done that. But they just want to come before you because you're you. And they want to come before you because they desire you. And they hunger for you. And Lord, you've already showed me in the scripture How that by doing that, you open up for them a world that they didn't even know existed. In thy holy name we pray, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. Let's stand up and sing, brother. What have we got?